Thank you for today. Thank you that we can come to your word. Thank you that your word makes a difference in our lives. And that through it, Lord, you give us the understanding, the knowledge, the anointing, the power, and everything that we need. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the victory that we can experience as we walk by the Spirit, Lord, and we follow you with our hearts. Just guide us, Lord, in this new topic that we are talking about, Lord, that may open up areas of experience, Lord, that may have been closed before. And give us the ability, Lord, to experience more and more of what you have made available to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Generally, you know, my topics, just one follow the other. One thing brings something else. There is evolution in what the Lord does. It's a step-by-step process by which we build a house, spiritual house, in which each part is a block, is a stone, and each stone goes in the right place and go on top so that you can start building up and you don't just spread around, but you just build up to where the Lord wants you to go. So we just have been looking at identity. And this is really very important for us to realize our identity, how we are changed as a result of being born again, as becoming believers, as we are starting to live in Christ by having faith in what He has done. And the difficulty that we all have, because we are still in this flesh, is to really bring to pass, to materialize the things that are spiritually true already and that Jesus achieved for our life, practically from a point of view of making it a reality for us, making it an experience that we actually have. And this is true for just about everything. Healing is one aspect, but it's not just healing. It's just coming into possession of the things that He has made available to us. Because healing is just one of the little things. You know, actually, if we focus too much on it, we end up missing the boat. Because we focus on a need rather than... And because the need often is pretty strong, you know, it's affecting us physically. So you see, our focus is on the physical aspect, when instead the healing comes from the Spirit. And so unless we just sometimes forget even about the fact that we need healing, and we can focus instead of our connection and the power of God working in us, when we do that, generally, what happens, often we realize we got healed and we didn't even know we were. And so it becomes a natural process to actually experience, and it's a process, and that's the word that I want to stress this morning. Our development, the manifestation of our salvation is not a one event. It's a process that takes place within us as the truth about what Jesus has done becomes manifested in our life more and more. Now, there is a moment in which we open up to this, and in theory we received the freedom that wasn't there before, and we reconnect with God. But that doesn't mean that we get the full manifestation of everything that Jesus made available to us. And the parallel here is the freedom and the ability to get into the promises of God for us is similar to the process that the Israel had to do when it was coming out of the bondage in Egypt and was coming into the promised land. They had to take step by step and conquer piece by piece and solidify their position for each thing that happened so that they would not be taken away, they will be pushed away. Okay. The same process is for us to take place against the forces of darkness that they have influenced our life and the life of everybody as a result of the original sin. So we have to understand how to participate in this process, how to make this process real to us. And the problem that we experience in generally, especially in our Western society, is that we are so mentally bound, mentally limited, okay? We are so used to operate out of our mind instead of operating out of our heart. And really, the heart is the place in which these things take place. Now, if you read how many times the heart is mentioned in the Bible, you see that, you know, if you do a search or do something, you see that throughout many, many, many things. The thing is, it's also, the heart is a difficult concept. It's not something that I can give you a definition and I can cover everything because it does, it won't. And often the word that they are translated heart, sometimes are translated other things, are translated mind, are translated... So you cannot even go by the translation in the word about what you're reading. People think that they can read the Bible like a mathematical equation. And this is wrong. It's not that you take a word... Like when I express myself, when you express yourself and use words, words, depending on the context, have a different meaning. So you can't just take things and make it rigidly mean something. Because at that situation, what you do is you block actually your ability to understand what's written there. What you have to do is to see the context and see the meaning that takes place within that context. And the word heart, first of all, there are a number of words used in the Bible about heart. And they've been translated in a number of different ways that's not even consistent. So you cannot go by that. And in fact, if you read people writing about heart, you can see that they contradict each other, they don't come really to a conclusion, and they are really wishy-washy in terms of the interpretation. So the meaning is they don't understand what they're talking about. And in fact, just look around how many sermons you hear about the heart. Not that many. And the one you hear are very limited. When instead, this is a fundamental concept to walk as a believer. So, we are going to spend some time to try to understand this because this has an effect on our ability to be able to receive the things because God is a heart God. I mean, works through the heart, speaks through the heart. The heart is essential to learn to operate or to live by the heart is essential to be able to be a believer. We are going to see scriptures. And we are going to see areas in which this we need to understand. We have been reading some time ago and part of our also developing our identity, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 there. So let's read it again. It's talking about that because, you know, in this case it's talking about heart, but really not even saying it. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. You see, he's talking about the eye of your understanding, but really, these are the eyes of your heart. Because this is where the spiritual understanding comes. It's not your physical eyes he's talking about. He's talking about the spiritual eyes that you have that actually are the eyes of the heart. And this is a being enlightened so that you'll be able to see through this perception that is not your physical perception, is not your senses, but your ability to discern things spiritually and be able to see them properly. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. That what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. You see, the believing and the heart go together. Because you don't believe with your head. You don't believe with your mind. You believe with your heart. That's what the Bible says. So you see, the understanding, you don't understand with your mind. It's not by logical analysis that you are going to understand the Bible. It's not by computer analysis that some people try to understand the Bible. There's no way. Because it's not a mathematical formula. It's a communication. Explaining to see things that we cannot really understand completely because are spiritual and we are used to be, because we are in a body and we are trained to operate according to our senses, that we are, you know, is showing us something that is talking about the senses that are not physical, but are the spiritual senses of our heart. They are outside our normal experience that we get, especially in our Western society, in which our culture and education is based on the mind and the thinking, logical thinking. Well, logical thinking works fine in the limitation of your background. But things that you don't know is not going to help you. So, God is trying to communicate to us things that have to do with the perception of our spiritual senses or the senses of our heart. Okay? And so we had to learn, like a new language, learn a new way of living, to be able to connect with what he's saying. I remember when I started reading the Bible some 40 years ago, I just read through it and I got some benefit, but didn't understand very much. Many things were just okay and just just beyond my ability to figure out what. Yeah, I could make the logical sense in the words, but didn't have the impact on me that sometime now just one sentence can have and can just keep me going for a day. See, this is why I can't read. Some people can read chapters and chapters of the Bible. I can't. I get stuck after two or three verses. And this is not that it's a bad thing. It's that I start to see stuff that I didn't see before. Every time. Because there is infinite knowledge there. There is God thoughts there that we are limited in our experience. And he wants to bring us into this experience so that we can start living the way he lives. In the fullness of life. He came to give us life more abundantly, not to take fun away from our life. It's a different thing. It's much better than what the world can give. So, we were talking about the eyes of our understanding, in other words, you know, the eyes of our heart. So really, the eyes of our understanding are the eyes of our heart. And this is so important for us to realize that the way we are going to grow, the way we are going to have breakthroughs, the way we are going to be healed, the way we are going to whatever it is, because healing is not just physical. Healing is mental. Healing is emotional. Healing has to do with the way we think and everything else, and the way what we believe. In Matthew chapter 13 said it very clearly, and this is repeated, he was repeating from the Old Testament prophets, but it's repeated many times in the Bible. And verse 14 says that then the prophecy, the Isaiah was fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, you shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For their heart of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they, and this is the key thing, they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their heart. You see, the seeing and the understanding is always related to the heart. Understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. And he's not talking about physical healing, because the word healing there is sozo, which actually means that make them whole. This is the way we are going to get whole. And that means, you know, not as fragmented, as messed up, as confused, as needy as the world make us. We are whole. We are together. We are transformed. We are empowered. This is God's plan. But to do that, to get that ability, we have to be able to understand and to hear, perceive, and this is a heart thing. So it's the heart that has to be able to receive the things, not just our mind. We can know the Bible by heart, which is another word used, but it's not the same meaning. Okay, it's not by memory. I mean, we can memorize the whole Bible and go around like a parrot just repeating blah 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 and meaning nothing. We have PhD in theology that they are not even saved. So that doesn't mean anything. And you can see it by their reasoning. So the idea is that the heart is the key. And this is what we are going to focus on. You want to receive from God. You want to connect with Him. God is a person like us, in a way. Or we are like God. Put it that way, in a way. And as such, we get to relate to Him as individual. It's a relationship thing that He wants with us. It's not a pious, religious, hocus pocus. He wants us to be connected with Him in a relationship of love. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to give us, enable us to have those experiences, enable us to come to this understanding. And so He's going to guide us in this process. But there are some obstacles to do that. Let's realize that. And the obstacle is the fact that we are distracted, that our senses generally take predominance over the senses of our heart. So that our physical world affects us more than what happens spiritually. When instead, God's plan is just to go the other way around. That God's desire is that our spiritual world is going to have an effect on our physical world. So we are going to see some of these things and the way they happen so that we understand the process by which we appropriate God's promises, appropriate what God wants us to do, appropriates the blessing that God wants to give us. This is what makes the difference. See, that's what God wants us to understand. There is a scripture that says, Matthew 5, verse 6, about the beatitude. It says, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I wrote this on my blog, but the idea is that you shouldn't be thirsting and hungering after righteousness. If you are born again, you got it. You can get more righteous than that. If you're born again, what you should be angry and thirsting about is really to understand God's ways and to understand how to relate to God with your heart. Because you should have appropriated your righteousness when you were born again. But maybe I don't feel righteous. Well, then there is a work to do, but it's not righteousness that you need. You need to have understanding about the revelation of God in your heart, that is what you already have, your identity. So even your identity is part of something that we have to learn to appropriate. What is God's goal for you? How to live God's life that God has designed for you properly. This should be what you thirst in anger, not to be caught up into the other things and to be open to receive from God the direction that you need. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and many other places in the Bible, said it very clearly, I will give you, this is God's promises, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. You know, it's not something that we can do ourselves. But it happens, and He does it. And when we are born again, that is what takes place. But once we are born again, we don't need to get it again, we have to move on. We have to be able to develop what we have there and recognize what we have there and start living according to what is in our heart, not in our head, not in our experience, not in our past, not in the other things that are maybe affecting the way we think, because our mind is still limited by the things we experienced before. But our heart is being changed and transformed. He put a new heart inside us and a new spirit. You can get any more righteous than what when you were born again. Even if your life is messed up, you can still go before God because as long as you are trusting in Jesus, He will accept you and you are accepted in the Beloved. And it's not your righteousness that you have, it's His righteousness, which is nothing. I mean, who can anybody have more righteousness than that? So you can say, I am righteous in Christ. One of the things that has to take place, you have to convince yourself of that reality. Because your mind, logically thinking, says, well, look at what I said to that person yesterday. Look at the way I feel about this other situation. Look, and it's going to the accuser of the brethren is going to bring up a long list of things by which you say, you know, where is the righteousness? Well, it's not in your head, and evidently not yet in your body. But it's in your heart if you just allow it to come out. Start to agree with it. See, there is this dichotomy in the life of Christians, between what they should be and what they actually are. They come short of what they should be. And one of the reasons why they come short of what they should be is because they feel that they should be that way instead of starting to be that way. You see, it's not by trying something that you are going to succeed. It's by being. Christianity is a heart experience. That means, you know, either you are or you aren't. If you are, then if it's not manifested, there is a blockage, there is something else stopping it. Your memory, your thing, your thinking, whatever. So that has to be dealt with. So there is a process that has to take place. And you can see that also in others, also in Abraham, for example. Went through a process of transformation before there was the manifestation of his son. Took him 40 years. we are in a better place than Abraham. Because he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have Jesus come and reveal the truth to us. We are in a much better place than anybody else in the Bible, because in the Bible they were receiving revelation. You can go, anybody can read it. It's a question now of having your eyes to be able to see what it's saying and not just to analyze what the logical words mean. It's a living word, not a dead word. Okay, let's read this again. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You see, God is not forcing anybody. And so this is may give you a broad indication. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, and 29. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgment and do them. See, it will cause you. So there is going to be an effect. Because I put my spirit inside you, you are going to start moving in that direction. And your desire is going to be that in that direction. You see, this because the Spirit is motivating you to move in a certain way. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I shall be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. You know, that doesn't happen overnight. But as we yield, and as we heal, and this is the key thing, is not that we have to participate in the process. We have to understand the process. We have to hear with our ear and see with our eyes and see the things. So we have to start seeing the things inside ourselves. These are not physical things that we see. Are spiritual things that are within ourselves that we have to start to discern, to see, to be able to connect to be able to change. Otherwise, how can you change if you don't know there is a problem? You see, but when you start to see that between your mind thinking, I want to do this, and your heart said, this is not a very good thing to do. And so there is this conflict going on, and you had to take a side. See, the Holy Spirit inside you said, do this. Your mind with your old experiences, do that. And your heart is in the middle. What am I going to do? And according to the way your heart has been changed, to the degree in which that heart has been modified and is able to see things properly, knows which one is the right way to go. Because one way is not going to be that good. It may feel good, but it's not going to be helping me. The other one is going to help me, and you make the right choice. Are you following me? Okay. See, and this is how we get, and then I read that again. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be my God. I will deliver you from uncleanness. And I will call the grain and all the blessing that's going to come as a result of that. But the point is, you see, there is this process, and as this process takes place, we take hold of the promises. We play a part in this process. It's not that God is going to, He's going to put the Spirit inside us. And that's going to cause us, He's going to motivate us. But we have still make a decision. There is a free will. God is not a demon that put us and push us and makes us do things against our will. So, we had to be serious, we had to be thirsty and hungering after this. So because we had, there are steps we had to take. We had to be sensitive. We had to be focused. We had to be, if you remember, you know, on the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about all the different things that you had to apply, faith and perseverance and all the other things that were there. Okay, there is, that's the process, okay? The first thing, you know, we had to believe that we can do it. See, that's the key, because if we don't believe that we are going to be able to do it, if we give up before we even start, how can you get there? You had to believe that this is God's plan for you, and God is going to empower you to do it. And there are plenty of scriptures which we can base ourselves. You know, all the promises of God are really to motivate us, to show us this is the direction, these are the blessings, these are the things I want to do with you. And we had to be wanting it. I mean, if you read the promise, I'm the Lord that healeth you, you say, oh yes, okay, and you do nothing about it, well, it stays there on the page. Nothing happens. But when you start saying, okay, I want this. Now, some people, you know, they had to be at the point of death before they really get serious about it. Why don't you do it before? It's so much easier. See, at that moment, it's much more difficult. Number one, because you have to overcome bigger problems. Number two, because you are so focused on the need that you miss God. That becomes your focus instead of being God's power working in you, that it should be your focus. So, you see, a needy spirit is not a spirit can receive much. Faith has everything. Has it already. Thank you, Lord, I have it. When you have faith operating in you. When you say, please, Lord, there is work to do. There are changes need to be taking place in your spirit, in your heart before. And if you want to have shortcuts for this, that just doesn't work. There is no shortcuts to this spiritual stuff. Sometime, God supernaturally with his goodness and as a gift operating and you get it anyway. And that, praise the Lord, and this is to encourage us and to strengthen us and to help us along the way, because He is such a loving Father. But there is no guarantee for that to happen. But the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That means, you know, when you are in faith, you can be assured. The assurance of what we get is not just the go, we go to heaven. You know, I can't have too much assurance to go to heaven if I can get anything down on earth. This is distorted theology. If it's true in heaven, it's going to be true on earth. This is God's will. So that's the way we should pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, if it's not, then we are coming short in some ways. This is not Jesus' teaching, what generally is taught. Oh, you just go to heaven. You know, that's the important thing. I'm sorry. How can you be sure if you don't have any faith even to receive down here? I may be radical, but that's what Jesus, Jesus was radical. This is the word of God. Okay. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 7 says, you know, ask and it will be given, and you will find, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. It doesn't say maybe. He said you will. For everyone. Are you everyone?
Yes.
I am. Who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, it will be opened. And why on the basis, on what basis we can say that? The way the Father is. Because Jesus showed the Father to us and said, oh, what man is there among you? If the Son asks for bread, he will give him a stone. Or if you ask for a fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? Can you say how much more?
How much more?
How much more? Will your Father who is in heaven will give good things to those who ask him? See, this is the basis. Because we can trust God, because God is faithful, because He is not somebody that He should, many He should lie, because we can count on God for with our life. That one makes a difference. That one brings the results. But, there is always some but, okay? And there are other scriptures there to be, you know, it's not just, oh, I'm asking God, God, please give me a pink Cadillac. And, you know, that's not the story. That's a stupid thinking. You have to be retarded to think that way. Read the whole book. You cannot take one scripture out of context. You know, there are many others. For example, Deuteronomy, I mean, I could read many, but Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says about four. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart. You see, the heart again comes into the picture. You see, that's why you need to know about the heart. You have to operate on the heart level. And with all your soul. So you see, that's really, and you know, just Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thought of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart." There you are. You see, I mean, how can we forget about the heart? How we just take it, you know, as something that you can't really understand. Well, try to understand what it means. Start to see not just one scripture, but the whole Bible when it talks about that, how we can operate. One of the things we can see already is that we can seek God with our heart. So there is something that is not, you don't seek God with your mind. I mean, you know, who cares if you got a degree in theology and you are cold? Seeking with your heart means that you are passionate about God. That you seek after Him, not other things. One of the aspects that we are going to talk about in a few times now is passion. You know, without passion, you get nowhere. See, passion is what motivates us. Passion is what keeps us going. And when it comes to heart, passion is from the heart. And really, you know, when you talk about loving God, you know, it's not just, oh, I love God. That doesn't do any good. That doesn't change any life. When you really come into a relationship with God, a love relationship with God, you become passionate. You start to mean business. It's not religious stuff. It's not superficial stuff. It's just deep inside and start to rule your life. Change your life. Empower you. You see, you get to add to the place where you get in touch with power. Is power. Paul said it very clearly. Your beliefs, your faith may not be based on the reasoning of man. Your reasoning, you know, can be interesting, can be appealing, can be things, but it's powerless. But on the power of God. That's what makes the difference. You see, it's God's power that makes Christianity Christianity, and it's not religion. Praise the Lord. Time flies when you have fun. I hope you feel the same way. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I had to close. Sad. We'll continue next week. A word that today is not really appreciated too much, and not many people like to ask commitment. Okay? That's what we are talking about. When you are passionate, you are committed. You are not just there. You are really committed. Okay? That one makes the difference. Jesus was committed. Paul was committed. He was committed even to the wrong thing. But he was committed. You see, the point is, the fact that he was committed was make a difference. Now, you know, you say, well, I'm not such a type of personality. Yeah, I said, wait a minute, we're going to talk about that. See, sometimes we have wrong ideas of how we get committed. You have to see the Word of God. The Word of God shows us how to do that. It's not work. You see, it's not by works. Hallelujah. It's not by works. It's by God that makes a difference. It's by faith. It's by the operation of the power of God inside us that we can do the things we can do. You know, you can't get healed by the works. You can do anything. You just can sweat and do things, but don't waste your time. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your word set us free. Lord, there is salvation in our relationship with you. There is freedom. There is victory. There is peace. The plans you have for us are peace, hope. And we have both peace and hope as we stand in Christ. We just praise you and thank you today, Lord, for your word that we could associate with and receive from. And we ask you, Lord, that you open our mind, that we may continue to receive from it. Continue, Lord, to move in the direction that give us the freedom that you only can give. In Jesus' name. Amen.